Yeah. The Bible puts a lot of emphasis on operating by faith, but the first thing that we have to learn, it can't be skipped. We have to learn how to sit by faith. That's the very first thing we have to learn how to do. So I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. These are going to be scriptures that these are going to be that we build on for this study today. Chapter 2, verse 4 says, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, and down in verse 7 says that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. To move in the faith realm, we must first learn to sit by faith. That's the very first thing we must do. Sitting is a position of relaxation. Totally resting on something to hold one up. Before we can do anything else effectively in Christ, we must first learn to sit. Rest in and rely upon Jesus, his word, and who he says we are. The thing about sitting down is you're not working. There's a lot of emphasis put on people. Some people are trying to work out their own salvation by good works in order to get salvation. That can't happen. There are a lot of people that are doing a lot of things in order to be righteous before God. That can't happen. There's a lot of people that are doing a lot of things in order to be justified before God. That won't work. There's a lot of things that we have to receive while we're sitting down. Receive it because it's already been done. There's too much emphasis on effort, on people's efforts to earn something when our efforts need to be focused on receiving something. Now, we must understand that our salvation, there's three parts. We were saved when we got born again. We are presently being saved, and we will be saved. You know, when you get born again, you're going to heaven. You're saved. But that word salvation means so much more than born again. Salvation means deliverance. It means prosperity. It means everything that a man needs, and it's all wrapped up in Jesus. It takes us something like 28 English words to describe that one Hebrew word. And it's more than just being born again. So much more. Are you done being healed? Then you're not done being saved. Are you done being protected? Then you're not done being saved. Are you done being delivered? And you're not done being saved. That's salvation. So we are being saved. And one of these days we're going to see Jesus face to face, and he's going to complete our redemption. So we will be saved. He has three parts. If people would understand this, it'd stop a lot of church fights. Now, none of this in any way originated with us. We must attempt to understand the enormity of the operation of God the Father in our lives that came about the day we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We have to look on purpose and find these different things that happen when we got born again. Where we find those and find these different things that Jesus did to us. But to understand a lot of this stuff, understand what's happening, we need to start at the beginning. So let's go to Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. Right there is the start of something absolutely magnificent. Right there is where God cut a covenant with Abram. They'd take these pieces of these animals and they put them basically in a trough cut out in the dirt. And all the blood, all the goo, all that stuff would be down in that trough. They'd have them cut down the middle from nose, from tip to tip. And then they'd walk in a figure eight pattern through these pieces and they pronounced the blessings upon each other. If you kept this covenant, they pronounced the blessings. And then they would pronounce the cursings. If you broke this cursing, if you broke this covenant, this is what's going to come upon you. Now here's the really, really good thing. We'd have been toast. But here's the really, really good thing. Right there, said Abram, went to sleep. There was a smoking pot and a torch that went through that process. So Jesus walked that walk for Abram. But we were in a covenant. Abram cut a covenant with God at that particular... Huh?
Jesus wasn't here yet.
Jesus always has been. In the beginning was the Word, and Word was God, and Word was with God. He's always been. But right there, he was signified as a torch going through there. Now, I want you to go down to chapter 8, I think is where I want to go. Genesis chapter 8. No, verse 8. Chapter 15, verse 8. He said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer 3 years old, she-goat at 3 years old, and a ram at 3 years old, turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them into the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds butted he not. When the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. That's when they were in Egypt. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. That's when they exited Egypt. God was prophesying things to Abram about his seed. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the Euphrates. The Kenites, the Kenizzites, and the Kadmonites, and the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Right there, it showed the burning lamp and the smoking furnace going through those pieces. That was representative of God and Jesus. If Abram would have got down in there and started walking in those figure eights, he would have been toast because he would have messed it up. But Jesus walked that walk for us. So now we understand there was a covenant set in place. Now, we did not and we cannot struggle to get into Christ. You know, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God the Father placed us into Christ Jesus the moment we received him into our hearts. It is of him, not us, that we are in Christ Jesus. God placed us so completely into Christ that we were in included in his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. We simply receive what God has done by faith, and that is our part. We have to receive it. We cannot earn it. One of the most important things that we'll ever understand is that we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus that is more precious than gold and silver. If there's anything that anybody can do, if they have any special talent or any special thing of any value that's more valuable than the blood of Jesus, I want you to raise your hand and we'll have a talk. There's nothing we can do that's more valuable than the blood of Jesus. So we're not going to earn anything from him. We have to receive it. There's something about a man that thinks that if he's not working for it, he shouldn't have it. That's not the way God's kingdom works. Now God has delivered us from the power of darkness, and He has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Our old life has ended, and we have become new creatures, literally made faith creatures. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is a big thing. There's a lot of people wasting a lot of time wishing that they could start life over with a clean slate. Here's the thing. With man, you may never ever have a clean slate. But with God, your slate's been cleaned. And in fact, your slate gets cleaned every day. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. I've noticed something about people. They're excited and they shout hallelujah. They're glad that they're saved by grace and they're forgiven. But then they forget that the guy down the street is saved by grace and he's forgiven. See, people don't want people to remember their past, but they don't mind remembering somebody else's past. See, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God does not operate on that scale? He does not remember our trespasses. He does not hold our sins against us. Our sins got washed away by the blood of Jesus. 1 John 1:7 tells us that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. That's something we can't earn. That's something we can only receive. Now, some people will say, you got to ask Him to forgive you. He already did. 2,000 years ago. He forgave you. You have to receive that forgiveness. Now, we are in a new dimension as born-again believers in Christ. We've taken on the capacity to live in two worlds at one time. However, true reality lies in the unseen world. So we're right here, there is no doubt we're right here on this earth. And we commingle with the people on this earth. We do business. We interact with them. We talk to them. We're around them. We eat with them. You know, we're around them all the time. We're in this earth, but we're not of this world. We're of a different kingdom. We belong to the kingdom of His dear Son. We got translated into that kingdom. Now, that says we need to just go ahead and obey all the laws that get laid out on this by the governors and rulers and all that. I have a real strong disagreement with that. Because they've made laws that go directly against the kingdom of God. You know, they've made abortion laws. There shouldn't be any abortions. They've made laws where it's legal for homosexuals to be married. There shouldn't be any homosexual wedding. They've made laws where it was illegal for Christians to turn down homosexuals to build cakes for them. And they destroyed their business when they didn't make a cake for them. I'm not going to agree with laws like that. That's going directly against the kingdom of God. We serve a higher government than the government on this earth. They may not agree with that, but God does. Now, Our spiritual life begins right here on this earth, not in heaven. Now, where do we begin in this new faith realm to operate as faith beings? Well, we begin where God does. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that is, ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." So we begin our Christian life seated with Christ in heavenly places. It's quite clear that no Christian can ever be under the circumstances, only deceived into thinking that he is. See, this is important for us. We have to identify ourselves with Christ. Identity is everything. Have you noticed? I mean, you gotta show your ID all over the place to get anything done in this room. I had to show my ID to buy fly spray here a while back. I mean, I got to show my ID to open a bank account. I got to show my ID just to do almost anything. I have to have a proven ID. Now, a lot of people identify themselves with what they do on this world. The most important identity we can have is our identity in Christ. Once we start identifying ourselves with Christ and accepting by faith what he did to us and where he put us, it makes life a whole lot simpler for us. A lot of people get born again and they just struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle, and they just haven't accepted the reality that they've been seated far above their problems. They just accept it as just a fact of life, and that's what they got to live with. And that's just not true. In fact, the Bible tells us that our enemies have been placed under our feet. A lot of people think that they got to deal with the curse all the time. I want you to know something. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 13. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." And then verse 29 says, "If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. So if you're feeling like you're under the circumstances and feeling like the curse has a hold of you and feeling like there's no way you're ever going to get set free, you need to stop, because you've got the wrong identity going for you. You've got the identity that you had before you got born again. You've changed. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you've been seated at the right hand of God. That's a big place to be at. Once we start looking at that and start seeing ourselves there, then we just start enforcing what God has already given us instead of trying to fight for it. It's already ours. He's already given it to us. It's ours. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 says, "Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours." He's already given you all things. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who already has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So, right there, he's telling us he's already given us all these things. That means you can't earn them. You're not supposed to work for it. You're supposed to receive them. Now, that doesn't mean that you sit at home and you put your slippers on and you don't do anything. That doesn't mean that at all. You still get up and you go to work. But what you receive from God is not something that you're going to earn. Philippians chapter 4, 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." He supplies it to us. He's already paid for it. In 2 Peter 1:3 says, "According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue." I got to ask you a serious question. If your dad owned a great big ranch and he set you down at the table and said, "This is your inheritance, this ranch, and all the cows on it, everything in the house, all the equipment, it's yours. I'm giving it to you, it's yours." Would you get up in the morning and go to town and get a job so that you could go buy that ranch? People do that all the time. They try to earn something that God has already given them. They try to work out their salvation like they're trying to earn something from God. They're trying to do enough good works that they can stand righteous before God. They're trying to do enough. There's some people that are trying to do enough good works that they can be forgiven. You don't understand. The blood of Jesus already washed away your sins. You're forgiven. You're as forgiven as you're ever going to get. Give yourself a break and just start receiving what he's already given you. That's the first start of our faith journey, is to learn how to sit by faith and receive what he's freely given us. You know, when you got born again, did you have to do anything out of the ordinary other than just believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? Did you have to do anything else required in order to get born again? Nothing. Nothing. You got born again. All you could do is just receive it and say thank you. Everything else is the same way. We just have to receive what Jesus did for us and to us and in us and say thank you. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for everything that you do for us. Father, we thank you for taking care of us daily. We thank you for our high priest, Jesus, who is always there making intercession for us, praying for us, causing us to be in the right place at the right time so right things can happen to us. Father, we thank you that your eyes are always on us, watching out for us. And we thank you for Holy Spirit, who is always here to teach us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.